Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week, I was answering a question from a preacher's son. Pay close attention today as we go right back to the study.
And when the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
We see that never do angels use music, nor do they wear jewelry. Now, again, as we said in an earlier question, you may say, well, wait a minute. I know better than that because we see that Hark the Herald Angels sang. Well, my friend, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they joined in singing. And even in heaven, when the saints are gathered around in Revelation, they join in saying. See, angels that are good angels did not want to be associated with Satan. They know Satan corrupts. And so Satan corrupted the music as well as the jewelry of heaven. It says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He covered the mercy seat, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Of course, his sin of pride lifted him up, and he rebelled against God. He wanted to be exalted above God. Now, I find it interesting because when Peter saw the Lord when he was fishing in John 21, he jumped into the water because he was naked. Now, he wasn't completely naked, but he didn't have his coat on. It's just like a man being out there in a bathing suit. The demoniac of Gennesaret was among the two, and he walked naked each day. But when he gets saved, the Bible says that he's clothed and in his right mind, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Matthew 22:11-13, we read this. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer dark. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that deals with a person not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, of course. But more than this, we find that in the garden, the man tried to dress himself when he fell. He covered himself with fig leaves. Of course, that didn't cover all. It was insufficient. God made them coats of skin. The Old Testament, they wore robes. Jesus wore a robe. And the eternal kingdom we find in Revelation, we are clothed in robes of righteousness. So let me address that. It may be that men who taught that it is wrong for a woman to wear pants because that is that which pertains to a man, they must see that it is wrong for a man to wear them because God clothed them in all in robes. He'll clothe us all in robes in the eternal kingdom. Now, I believe that the distinction is between masculine and feminine. So, if I was a man and I put on flowery breeches that zip up the side and so forth, and kind of like a capri pant that the women wear, you'd have a hard time saying that I'm not wearing that pertaineth to a woman. I mean, you know, they're pink, flowery, and they're like capris, and maybe they even zip up the side. You'd say, well, that's effeminate. That's right, that pertains to a woman. I know that there are fundamentalists out there that are probably listening to me now that are going to get upset with that, but I'm just saying that what I believe is that God made, and we know that by studying back in those days, the history and the customs and so forth, that they all wore robes, men and women, but there was a difference between them. There's an effeminate robe and there was a masculine robe. There was differences in styles and so forth of them. And so, it could be just as wrong for a man to wear a pants today as it is for a woman. But I've chosen that distinction is between masculine and feminine. So I believe that it's what God wants, distinction. We find that in 1 Timothy 2, verses 8-10. There we read the following. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, they were to lift up holy hands. And this is addressing men. 1 Timothy is addressing a pastor and how to conduct the local church within. 2 Timothy will look at the local church as it conducts itself without, that is, in the world. The emphasis is on holiness. Holy hands is not your hands are washed in water. Rather, it is having not dirtied them with the worldliness and unrighteousness. Why do men want to wear shorts and t-shirts to church? Well, it appeals to their fleshly nature. Although we aren't saying it's necessarily of a sexual and wicked innuendo, rather, it is what appeals to my flesh, makes me feel good. Jesus told us plainly in John 4:23-24, that true worshipers worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, the flesh should not hinder or enter into that worship in any way. Now, as a man, I know this man who does run a camera for a couple different churches with big TV ministries go across the country. And he was telling me that, I said, well, when you see those girls up there, some of them are singing, dancing, half-dressed, and they're doing all kinds of things up there. And I said, do you guys with the headsets on and so forth and watching it on the screens and things of that nature, what is the reaction to that? And he said, well, excuse it. He says, they check them out on stage. They'd say to one, check out the third one to the right, you know, and things of that nature. They watched a preacher's wife singing and noted that she shakes her booty up there. And again, forgive me of the bluntness of saying such a thing. That doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound like holy hands does. And notice the rest of the verses. In like manner, just like the men, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in a modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good work. Now, modest apparel has a double application. One is not expensive, as gold and pearls and so forth would show that, as the opposite of that, not seeing how expenses, putting all your money into that, and things of that nature. But remember, Satan in Ezekiel, that we read earlier, corrupts it. We call Las Vegas and Hollywood Tinseltown. Modest also has the idea applied to it in not a seductive way. That fits in with the context of holy hands and holy worship, which takes place and should take place in God's house. You see, worship is about the Lord, not our feelings, and not self being entertained. Now, I think you would have the same problem if your mother died, and you asked me to do her funeral, then I came in shorts and a t-shirt, or you have a formal wedding, and I show up and do the same in a shirt and t-shirt and short. And if that upset you, then you would be expecting me to respect your wedding or your mother more than I do God. How you dress does not affect your heart in worship, but your heart with the Lord will affect how you dress to go to His house. Why not give your best to the Lord? It's not a fashion show, as some people say. People dress up. Some address that as trying to outdress each other, a fashion show. But maybe it's because their heart is not dressing up to please the Lord, and they have their eyes on man instead of God. Now, this letter adds here to end, Dad's a retired Southern Baptist minister, and to this day, he still can't answer my question, ha ha. Well, my answer is finally, that ha ha is very disrespectful of your dad. Even if you were right, you should respect your dad and not mock his faith. That is not honoring your mother and father. Sir, I would seek to make sure that you didn't just make a profession when you got saved. Praying the right prayer is not hocus-pocus word. Say this prayer and you're saved. Romans 10:9-13 says you need to have a heart belief. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord speaks of his deity, Jesus that is humanity. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Jesus, your Savior. and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. You're believing he died for you and was buried and rose from the dead. He says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not your righteousness. No. The righteousness of Christ, who is all holy. Because we're either accepted in him, and if we refuse him, we're rejected in our own self-righteousness, which falls short, and we're in hell. So he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the Bible, Ephesians 5, and I believe that's why Genesis 2, he ordained marriage even before the fall of man, and Jesus reiterated it in Matthew 19 and Matthew chapter 5, and we see it in several other places. And when addressing it in the book of Ephesians, talk about husbands being the head, wives being submitted, talk about loving your wives, even as Christ loved the church, but he said, I speak of Christ in the church. Just speaking of the marital relationship, sounds like a marital seminar, but when it comes down to it, he says, really, I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. And you see, my friend, growing up in a Southern Baptist pastor's home, you probably heard the gospel. Jesus died for your sin, was buried, and rose from the dead. But when you're coming to him, it's like the commitment of marriage. Now, my friend, I've gone to people's homes, and they weren't married, tried leading to Christ. And I would offer to say, look, here you are, you've got kids, here you are living together, and you need to be married. Now, why don't you get married? Well, we can't afford it, preacher. We'd like to, but we can't afford it. I say, looky here. I'll pay for your license, and I'll perform the wedding. I won't charge you a cent. I'll do it all. So we get married. I'd say near 80% say no. No. You see, they know that marriage is a commitment. Now, it's not the work they do that makes them married. It's not being good enough to get married, but it's simply in a heart love. You commit to that person. The Lord made that heart commitment to you. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if you'd come to him, he'd in no wise cast you out. You see, Jesus has already made the vow. He's already said the I do to you. But just like weddings I've performed, the bride says it second. She doesn't say it. They're not married. No matter how many times the groom would say, I do, I do, I do. The bride must respond. Now, you may learn words like Lord and Jesus and saved, just like those people living together may say love and other like words, but they lack the commitment of marriage. You may have walked forward, you may have gotten baptized, you may have said a prayer, but you never really came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you don't have it now. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Now, sir, I thank you for your letter, and I'm going to read it on the radio station, but I will type it in large letters. I told him due to my stroke that I'd had a few years ago, and this letter in large print, I let him know that I'm concerned about him. I really wonder if he should say, that's not for me to know. I don't know his heart. I can only tell him the way to be saved, but my friend, that young man can only be saved the way that only you and I can be saved. Believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he was buried and rose from the dead. Well, the devil believes that and trembles, the Bible tells. You see, what's the difference? It's a heart belief.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My peace on his firm foundation for the Bible.